Lit Committee of the 27th Alaska State Legislature. Today is June 27th, 2012. We're meeting in Anchorage. It is 10:30 in the morning. And I believe, checking around, do we have a recording secretary online?
Yes, we do, Representative Hawker.
Hey, can whoever's handling the gain on that, can we try to crank you up a little bit? Let's radio check on the recording secretary again.
Yes, we're here in Juneau.
Ah, much better. We're there. Okay. Madam Secretary, could you call the roll of the committee, please?
Representative Newman. Representative Olson. Representative Thomas.
Here.
Representative Dugan.
Here.
Representative Kawasaki.
Here.
Representative Stoltz. Senator French.
Here.
Senator Hoffman.
Here.
Senator Menard.
Here.
Senator Wagner. Senator Meyer.
Here.
Senator Stedman. Chair Hawker.
Present. So with that, we do have a quorum to conduct business. Today, hopefully, will be a fairly expedited activity handling the ministerial aspects of this committee. And first item of business will be the approval of minutes from the April 25th, 2012 meeting.
Mr. Chairman.
Representative Dugan, sir.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I move and ask unanimous consent that the minutes from the LBNA meeting on April 25th, 2012 be approved as presented.
The question before the committee is the approval of the minutes from the LBNA meeting on April 25th, 2012. Is there objection? Hearing seen none, those minutes stand approved. Thank you. We have four RPLs to consider today. I think all members should have that packet. It was certainly made available by the internet. We've got an education redevelopment, health and social services, and then two for natural resources. We should have representatives here from the agencies. I know we've got everyone. Whoever would like to give us a quick presentation on the education early development, we'd love to have them come forward. Okay.
Chairman Hawker, this is David Teal from Legislative Finance. Do you want me to briefly review the RPLs?
Okay, that's where I was wondering who was going to be there to handle things. Pauline just gave me the heads up that you were there in Juneau. So David, yeah, would you give us a brief on starting with this through the four RPLs, please?
Sure.
And if there's any questions, don't hesitate to bring them up on a timely basis, and we can bring you forward to testify to the other things.
Okay, Mr. Chairman, RPL 05-3-0002 is from the Department of Education and Early Development, and it requests $80,000 of statutory designated program receipts from the Rasmussen Foundation for the department's Harper Arts Touring Grant Program.
David, can you speak up just a little?
At your October 14th, 2011 meeting, the committee approved RPL 5-2-0070. That was for $65,000. And also statutory designated program receipts for that Harper Arts Touring Program. And that was for FY12. Because there was no assurance that the services of the Council on the Arts would be needed in FY13, the department didn't request SDPR authority in the 13 budget. However, in mid-April of this year, the Rasmussen Foundation notified the department that it was interested in renewing its contract for the services of the Arts Councils for that program, and that brings the RPL before the committee, this time for FY13 instead of FY12.
Is there question. Senator French, sir.
Could we inquire if Mr. Teal is swimming or underwater or if he's boating? I mean, I appreciate
it. Yeah, David, what is your circumstance? It's, you sound like you're someplace you're having a whole lot more fun than we are.
She's just looking at me from there and saying it's somebody else's background noise, so there must be a microphone open live. I'm sitting in the LIO in Juneau, not having much fun, really.
Well, I feel better now.
Let the record show the entire committee feels much reassured. But questions on the Harper Arts Touring Program, RPL? Hearing, seeing none, they get off way too easy. Health and Social Services, Mr. Teal.
That's another familiar topic. During your December 5th, 2011 meeting, the committee approved RPL, which provided $100,000 of mental health trust receipts for this same purpose, the patient-centered medical home model project. And again, that was for FY12. The FY12 legislature then appropriated $500,000 for FY13 of mental health trust receipts to continue the project. And the department does not expect to fully expend the FY12 funding, and this RPL would allow them to use the remaining $33,600 from FY12. It will appear as new money in FY13, and here I should probably emphasize that this RPL is funding only the development of a model for care delivery system. The cost of providing those services is not part of this RPL. It's just developing a model, and the costs of services under that model are unknown but presumed to be lower than under the existing model.
But then that would require when they want to implement the activities under the model, come before the full finance committees and justify the additional investment.
I would assume so. This is simply a contract to develop a model of a care delivery system. It's not delivering care yet.
Committee questions. Representative Dugan, sir.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. David, got a little lost there. Is the total that's going to be spent for this study or whatever it is going to be the $100,000, or is this in addition to the previous appropriation?
Through the chair, Representative Dugan, there was $100,000 available in FY12. That was, and then last session you appropriated an additional $500,000. Without this RPL, they would have spent, well, they did spend about $66,000 in 12, and they would have an additional $500,000 for 13. With this RPL, they will get to use the unused $33,600 from 12 and add it to the $513, giving them $533.6 for 13.
Thank you. Is there somebody from the department online, Mr. Chairman?
I believe Mr. Jesse is here.
Huh.
Mr. Chairman? Yes.
Senator Menard.
Thank you, too. I was just going to echo what Representative Dugan said. I'd like someone like Mr. Jesse to come up and just kind of cut through the chase. And I know there's 50% federal dollars and match dollars with the state, but that's an excellent idea. Thank you.
Mr. Chairman, for the record, my name is Jeff Jesse. I'm the Chief Executive Officer of the Alaska Mental Trust Authority. The department may also be online, so I don't mean to get in the way of them presenting this, but maybe I can give you a quick idea here. We have to control Medicaid costs over the long term. We are building a system that's unsustainable. And so we've been working closely with the department to determine what models of care can start to control these costs. And one of the things we realized is that many of our beneficiaries and other people with very complex medical conditions are often driving up those costs because their care is uncoordinated. And they go from this primary care doc to this specialist to that specialist to this specialist, and the costs just keep escalating. So the concept behind the medical home is to have a central place that a patient has a primary care relationship, and referrals and other care management decisions are made in that location. And in other places, this has been a pretty effective cost containment mechanism, particularly for people with high-end costs and very complex medical needs. So what we're trying to do in partnering with the department is to develop that model for Alaska. And, of course, where we get the biggest bang for our buck is where we can engage our tribal partners in developing these types of systems of care, because that federal match is 100% federal. So to clarify the funding, we have put $500,000 into this for FY13. The department is going to match that with $200,000 of federal money. And then in addition, if you approve this RPL, their unexpended $33,600 from 12 will be added to the pot in 13. So we have a total of $533,600 of MTAR and the $200,000 of federal, and we'll develop this model. And then, as Representative Hawker stated, then we'll be coming back and explaining this to the finance committees, and no doubt the HES committees as well, to explain how we're going to move into what we expect to be a more efficient model, and more effective, by the way, model of care.
Yes. Senator Menard.
Thank you. Well, thank you for that explanation. So what you're telling us is $750,000 is going to, we're going to have to expand to develop this model. And you said there's other states that have put this model into place very successfully. Can you share maybe a few of those states? And
well, Senator Menard, through the chair, you are not, fortunately, having to spend any state general funds for development of this model. All of the funding we propose to use in 13 is either federal or Mental Health Trust Authority authorized receipts. So there's no general funds in the development of the model. I can't tell you off the top of my head what the other states are, but this is now an evidence-based practice. There are other models out there, and that's part of what this contract is to do, is to go out and locate other states that have tried this, and both look at where it's been successful and why it's been successful, and in places where maybe it hasn't been so successful, identify what those issues were so that we don't sort of make the same mistakes again.
And if I might, we also have online, and make sure you're there, Sarah Woods with the Department of Health and Human Services. Is there anything you'd like to add to what Mr. Jesse has said? We don't have Sarah Woods online.
Excuse me.
Okay. Apologies.
Chairman Hawker, excuse me, I am here. This is Sarah Woods, Deputy Director with Finance and Management Services for Health and Social Services. I would say that Mr. Jesse did a very nice presentation, and I don't really think that we need to add anything to it at this time.
Thank you. Further questions? Representative Dugan, sir.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. So we're going to spend $700,000 on a study to determine how we're going to spend more money on a program that has already been, I guess, enacted would be the right term, in several other states. Is that a fair summary of what's going on here?
Well, before Jeff starts, I just want to establish kind of a baseline for the record, is that the request in front of this committee today is to expend $33,600 of money that was previously appropriated for FY12 and FY13. The decision to conduct this activity, the larger decision, has already been made by the entire legislature and voted on in the FY13 budgets. So, you know, we're sort of replowing old ground to reinvestigate or reconsider the underlying program, although complete understanding of it is completely relevant for this committee, but we are not in a situation of determining whether or not to fund the program here.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
And Representative Dugan, through the chair, just a little clarification. It isn't just a study. It's a development of a model that works in Alaska. Every state's system of medical care is different. They have different partners, different funding mechanisms, all of that. For example, one of the big differences in Alaska is our tribal health system, which is very unique. And so this is to look at these models and learn how to adapt them for Alaska. And the goal isn't to, once these models are developed and implemented in Alaska, to be spending more money overall. It's to actually reduce our expenditures, because now you spend Medicaid dollars, all right, but for these complex, high-needs individuals, you're spending them often in a very uncoordinated, fragmented way as the patients make their own way to each of these various providers that all ka-ching, ka-ching, ka-ching at every step of the way. And what we've learned from looking at how other people do it is if you start to coordinate that care so that you're not just going out and accessing all of these different expensive services independently, you can get better care, better management of chronic conditions, and lower costs in the end.
Representative Dugan, sir, please continue.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'm not going to resist this appropriation, but I will just observe that in the 6 years that I've been in the legislature, I can't remember the number of times somebody has told me that if we spend more of the people's money, it will save money in the long run, and never, ever seen that actually happen. So, Mr. Jesse, I certainly hope that you're going to be the first person in my experience to reverse that.
Well, Representative Dugan, through the chair, if I might give you just a couple of examples. Let's take Bring the Kids Home. We convinced you to invest additional dollars in community-based care. Your out-of-state Medicaid costs for residential psychiatric treatment facilities has gone down over 50%. We had hoped to at least get the amount of money you were spending reinvested in community services. We didn't make that goal. We have not reinvested all of what you saved. In Bring the Kids Home, your overall expenditures for a better level of care has actually gone down. Now, over time, with inflation and population growth, no doubt it will, you know, go back up, but that's one example. The Alaska Psychiatric Institute is another example, where when that hospital had to be replaced, the plan was to build a 165-bed hospital at a cost of over $45 million, not to mention the tens of millions of dollars to operate that facility every year. By working with the department and other people in the community, we were able to develop the single point of entry at Providence Hospital, additional designated evaluation and treatment beds, and we built a 72-bed hospital that has considerably lower costs to operate than we would have had had we not invested in those other service systems. And there are other examples, but I respectfully submit that, in fact, we have been true to our word. Have we been successful in every single case in reducing costs? No. With greater need does come greater cost. But we focus very heavily on data outcomes, and we believe we have delivered the promise to use public resources in a smarter, more effective, and in some cases, a less costly way.
Representative Dugan, sir.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I appreciate your zeal, Mr. Jesse. And I think I'll just leave this debate where it is. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. Senator Menard, ma'am.
I think it's respectful to leave it where, because I think he's suffering from laryngitis.
Fed. There's a further questions on the patient-centered medical homes, MTAR, appropriation of $33,600. Hearing seen none from the committee. Back to David Teal. Natural Resources Canadian Thistle Control.
Yes, Mr. Chairman. This RPL requests funding for a long-term non-perm position. That's $160,300. And also for term contracts, about $200,000, that were approved by the Mental Health Trust Board on May 10th, 2012. This
$360,000.
Do you want to do the thistle one? We're halfway through it, or go back to real estate?
Show that we are not talking Canadian thistles. We are now talking RPL 10-3-5000 for the real estate portfolio development.
Actually, I think that's 5001. If you look at the RPL itself, I think the cover letter may be backwards.
Yeah, he's still on the thistles. Thistle is 5001.
Okay, David. So we maintain a clear record. Let's strike all that previous testimony, and you tell us what you're going to talk about, David.
Okay.
And if you would identify it by RPL number.
Okay, 5000. Since that's the order that they come in, RPL 10-3-5000 is DNR, Department of Natural Resources, and that's regarding the real estate portfolio development of the Mental Health Trust Land Administration. And
okay, please continue.
Sorry, that goes for the non-perm position for the Mental Health Trust Board, $160,000, and $200,000 for the contracts. And that $360,300 is in addition to an FY13 increment of $261,300 to expand the capabilities of the land office. And the point there is to acquire properties that directly benefit trust beneficiaries.
Mr. Jesse, can you give us a little more flesh on the bones here?
Yes, Representative Hawker. First, let me take the long-term non-perm position. That was not presented to the legislature during the normal course of the legislative session because we didn't have OMB approval from that position for that position until after the legislative session. As you know, normally we would bring that before the finance subcommittee. That position is necessitated due to the serious illness of one of our senior resource managers. We have no idea how much longer he may be able to serve. He has been just a fantastic resource for the Trust Land Office, and what we're doing here is basically bringing on a person that can work with him, learn from him, and then unfortunately at some point be able to take over as he's no longer able to continue in his position. So that's the non-perm. The $200,000 in contracts, I'd like to juxtapose that to the funding that was approved in the legislative session, the 261.3. Let me back up and give you a kind of a 50,000-foot level here. Over the course of the history of the Trust Authority and the Land Office, the Land Office has done an excellent job in converting what we've called the low-hanging fruit into revenue for the trust. Those were timber sales where the timber was there, the market was there, we could sell that timber. Resource extraction like gravel pits and those sorts of things, that there was already opportunity in the hopper. many of those opportunities now have been captured. And so we have seen the trust land office income generation go down over the last few years. And that has been of great concern to the trustees. And so they have been working very hard to analyze what's causing that and what is it that we can do to enhance the ability of the land office to generate more income for the trust and get more of our land into development. In the past, much of the land office's work has been, I guess, what you would call reactive. People would come to us with a deal or come to us with a proposal. What we're learning now is that to continue to grow income from trust land and resources, we're going to have to be proactive. We're going to have to come up with ideas. We're going to have to be creative. We're going to have to go out and get resources on the market and generate development opportunities that we can participate in. The increment that was funded during the regular session was for more of the core operating costs of the land office to deal with our existing portfolio and the issues that arise in the course of dealing with it. This additional $200,000 in term contracts are for two different types of contracts, one for legal assistance and one for project management. And I'll tell you exactly what this is about. This is about looking at a business opportunity in the community that have limited windows of opportunity timing-wise. Normally, state government agencies are not well-equipped to respond with great alacrity when those types of business opportunities arise or are created. And in the past, when we've had to rely upon, say, the Attorney General's office for business legal advice, and this is not to say anything negative about the AG's office, but they have a number of tasks and priorities. Jumping on a business deal to quickly analyze the implications of, say, an LLC creation in order to develop a business opportunity is not going to get to the top of their list. And so that's one of the reasons why we have this term contract for legal services. Similarly with project management, the land office has employees and others that do the day-to-day business of the land office. When we create an opportunity or a business opportunity arises which has a definite window of opportunity, we need to be able to bring a contractor in the next day and know that they're going to be on this until we get the deal done.
Thank you. That was done with great alacrity. Senator French.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Mr. Jesse, it looks to me as if the $160,000 in personnel costs will eventually sort of go away. That it's some, you know, in 2 or 3 years, you're going to have that person move into the position that you have right now, filled by a person who's not well, and I'm sorry to hear about that. But what about the $200,000 in term contracts? Is that going to be an ongoing annual appropriation to sort of have legal assistance quickly available to the mental health trust to jump on deals, as you
put it? Yes, Senator French, through the chair, yes, we would expect to have some level of resource for that purpose on an ongoing basis. What the trustees didn't want to do is make a multi-year allocation up front. They'd rather take this year by year and evaluate how this effort evolves over time.
Totally agree. If I can follow up, Mr. Chairman,
Senator French,
we shouldn't, you know, give you $1 million if you only need $200,000. But why wouldn't that have been part of the regular legislative session's budget, the term contracts?
Well, Senator French, the process the trustees have gone through to analyze the income generation of the land office and what steps we could take to turn that around has been an ongoing process that unfortunately hasn't fit well into the legislative timing process. And we had actually been trying to get to even the governor's amended point in time in order to get this in. But the trustees went through their committee process, and they weren't able to come to a conclusion to authorize this until their April meeting. So, you know, I did my best to make them aware of the importance of getting these things into the normal legislative process. Representative Hawker has certainly impressed the importance of that on me on a number of occasions. And if we could have gotten a little farther ahead of the curve, we would have. It will certainly be coming back through the normal legislative process in future fiscal years.
Last question, if I could, Mr. Chairman. You're buying, it sounds like, legal services, and do you know what you're paying? My sense is that there's a lot of, there's more illegal talent available in town than there is work, and so I'm just wondering if you're driving a hard bargain for your hourly rates.
Senator French, through the chair, yeah, we're absolutely going to watch that. One of the difficulties here is you don't know going in how much of this you're going to need. We may not have an opportunity to use any of these contracts, and we certainly hope that's not the case. Also, we want to find resources for these contracts for people that are skilled in development opportunities. So we'll be looking at a pretty specialized group of attorneys, people that have familiarity with how to put a deal together in the private sector. And this is a big challenge, having a state agency try to operate more like a private sector, entrepreneurial, aggressive developer. And so, I know we'll be looking to get a good deal, but we're going to be focused on getting people that can really help move this to light speed.
Thank you, Senator, and I think it's another point to clarify and emphasize here that this request has been vetted through the Mental Health Trust Authority's Board of Directors, and it is 100% Mental Health Trust Authority funds. You're not here requesting any sort of general federal or other funding sources. This is essentially a request to spend your own internal funds.
Yeah, thank you, Representative Hawker. That's absolutely the case. And part of the reason I think it took the trustees a while to get here is that they are well aware that every dollar invested in developing income through the land office in the short run is a dollar that's not available to support the beneficiaries directly through the mental health program. So they don't undertake these increases in funding to the land office lightly. They realize that they have proposed to make a significant investment in the land office's capacity over several years, and frankly, they're holding them pretty accountable for coming up with the results that will justify that investment.
Representative Dugan, sir.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Jeff, I think you said that one of the things that's going on is that there's a decline in revenue from the land trust. Did I understand that correctly?
Representative Dugan, through the chair, particularly in the income side, but also on the principal side.
And can you give me just a couple of sentences on why that's happening?
Well, I can do better than that, Representative Dugan. I have Greg Jones, who's the executive director of the Trust Land Office, here with me, and if I might have the opportunity to phone a friend, I'd like to bring Greg up, and he can tell you a little bit more about that.
Thank you. Mr. Jones, thank you for introducing yourself and give Jeff's voice a rest here.
Will do. Mr. Chairman, Greg Jones, Executive Director of the Trust Land Office, and through the chair, Representative Dugan. During the early part of the, after the settlement, there was very little revenue coming from the Trust Land Office. By 2000, they began to figure out what they had in terms of assets, and as Jeff said earlier, went for the low-hanging fruit, did some significant resource sales in timber. About 50% of the revenue they've generated today are from timber. That timber is essentially gone now. We have the only timber we have left are the very sensitive tracts that are on the Wrangell Narrows, the Tongass Narrows, We're trying to do a transaction with the Forest Service so that we don't have to log those. So that revenue has dried up. Some land sales that were very easy to do that were pretty significant, and some land leases generated both principal and income during those early years. By 2008, the revenue had begun to fall pretty significantly, both in terms of principal and income. It's been probably 6-8 years since we've done a commercial land lease. The timber's dried up. We have begun to start, since 2009, 2010, we've gotten more aggressive in terms of putting natural resources on the market in terms of oil and gas, coal, hard rock minerals. Those have yet to pay off in large numbers, but they will in the future. We're now looking at our real estate and our investment opportunities, trying to figure out if we can develop trust real estate to generate income and invest in income properties. And so we're seeing, in just the last year, we're seeing an uptick in both revenue from principal and income at the TLO. We've got a ways to go, but we are directionally correct over the last 2 years, and we're finding that as we go forward, the type of transaction we have to do are much more complex than the fairly simple ones, the reactive ones that Jeff talked about, and that's why we need the additional expertise that really these contracts will make available to us on a transactional basis, not on a permanent basis, just transaction by transaction. When we have a transaction opportunity, we'll draw on them. If we don't have an opportunity in front of us, this money won't be spent.
Thank you.
Mr. Chairman, I have one other question.
Representative Dugan, sir.
Thank you. This part of this funding is for a long-term, non-permanent position, which is actually a formulation after 6 years I've never seen before. But it's $160,000, basically. And could you break that down for me?
And this is one where we're not sure how much of this money we will spend. The process we went through is the employee that Jeff referred to that is ill was, in fact, a long-term non-perm. The OMB prefers that somebody that's an essential to the ongoing business not be in that category. So when he got sick, we converted his position to a permanent position, and we will now fill it with a new person. We're creating a long-term non-perm position for him to stay with us as long as he can. He's in treatment right now, working part-time from a hospital right now in Seattle, but we hope to have him back this fall. So we're not sure how much of that'll be spent. He's about two-thirds of that is salary, and a third of it is just the load to carry the salary. I can give you the exact salary numbers if you'd like them, but he prefers to stay in the non-perm category simply because his wife works for the federal government. He has insurance, so he's not costing the state anything in the insurance program. It's doing all that under his wife's coverage, so we just leave him in that position. The assumption is, comes back permanently, we'll figure out what to do with his position at that point. OMB will then start asking us to put it back in to a permanent position, which we would do through their guidance. If he doesn't make it back permanently, then this position would go away.
Okay. Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you, sir. Further questions from the committee regarding the MTAR request for their development of their real estate portfolio? Hearing, see none. Thank you, Jeff. Thank you, sir. So we go back to David. Mr. Teal, now we do Canadian thistles.
Which is RPO 10-3-5001. And the RPOs are labeled correctly, but I think that the cover sheet may have reversed 5000 and 5001, so that's the source of the confusion here. But we are on the Canada thistle request. Department of Natural Resources asked for additional statutory designated program receipt authority, which they need to receive $85,000 from the National Fish and Wildlife Foundation. that would be to implement a Canada thistle management program in the Anchorage area, and it would add to an FY12 capital project for thistle control, and that capital project and the grant are attached as backup documents. The department didn't want to wait for the next LBNA meeting to use the money because the money is expected very soon. And this was originally submitted as an FY12 RPL, but that was modified to FY13 with the cooperation of the department and OMB.
Are there questions from the committee on the approval of statutorily designated program receipts for the Canadian Thistle Management Program in the Anchorage area? Representative Dugan.
Thank you. Just one. If these are Canadian thistles, why don't we have the Canadians take care of them? I guess you could consider that a rhetorical question.
Yeah, we will take that as a rhetorical question. It's quite well made, sir. But hearing see no questions there, we'd be ready for a motion, and I would just, again, would indicate for the long, with a permanent record here, that the cover letter from the Office of Management and Budget and the cover sheets for the individual RPL requests showed this particular request as number 10-2-5115, and we will be approving it per Mr. Teal's comment under the number of 10-3-5001. So with that, Representative Dugan, sir, we're ready for a motion.
Okay, Mr. Chairman, and if I get these, the numbers on the last
That's
two.
Okay. That they're good on that sheet.
All right, thank you. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I ask unanimous consent that the committee approve the following RPLs. RPL 05-3-0001 to the Department of Education and Early Development.
I believe that's 0002.
I'm sorry, it is 2.
And I recognize this is a challenge with some of your recent... this is a test.
Well, okay, and I'm flunking so far, but I'll try and rally and do better. To the Department of Education and Early Development, it's $80,000 for statutory designated program receipts. Next, RPL 06-3-0099, the Department of Health and Social Services, it's $33,600 Mental Health Trust Authority authorized receipts.
Say that 3 times.
I couldn't hardly say it once, Mr. Chairman. Yeah, I do, don't I? Next is RPL 10-3-5000. Thank you. To the Department of Natural Resources for 360,300 Mental Health Trust Authority authorized receipts. And finally, RPL 10-3-5001 to the Department of Natural Resources, $85,000 in statutory designated program receipts.
Thank you, Representative Dugan. The question before the committee is the approval of the aforementioned RPLs. Is there any objection
Mr.
from
Chairman?
Committee members?
Mr. Chairman, this is David Teal.
Those RPLs stand approved. At this time, we'll be reverting to executive session for the purpose of reviewing 2 preliminary audit releases. They shouldn't take too long, but we'll entertain a motion for executive session. Representative Dugan, sir.
Mr. Chairman, I move the committee under Uniform Rule 22 go into executive session for the purpose of discussing confidential audit reports under AS 2420301.
So the question before the committee is moving into executive session. Is there objection? Hearing see none. So ordered. We'll take a minute and get ourselves offline.
Mr. Chairman?
Is
this live?
I'll do a membership check at the moment. Present in the room, we have Senator French, we have Senator Menard, myself, Representative Hawker chairing, Representative Dugan. Online, Representative Kawasaki, are you there?
I am here, Mr. Chairman. Thank you.
Thank you, Representative. Are there any other members online at the moment? Okay, at the moment, we have lost our quorum to conduct an official vote, so we will continue with the next request ministerially here, although we cannot take any official committee actions until we reestablish a quorum. So setting aside at this moment the motion for the preliminary release of these audits, we've got a couple items of just other committee business to keep folks informed of, and we will have a request coming. Would you talk about the support auditor, the technical support request for your Kubota work?
For the record, my name is Chris Curtis, representing the Division of Legislative Audit. Legislative procurement rules require that any contract entered into by the Division of Legislative Audit that exceeds $25,000 must have the approval of this committee. So this is why I'm here today. We are requesting approval to solicit and award a contract for technical assistance related to the audit request for Kubota. Specifically, part of the request that asks us to explain the Kubota public-private partnership and outline the balance of risks and rewards, very complex task. So we have...
Pardon me for interrupting you there. We also need another check here. Do we have a recording secretary online at the moment?
Yeah, we do.
Is there... Recording secretary, are you online?
We have a recording secretary online.
Thank you very much.
There are two objectives in the Kubota audit request. The first, as I mentioned, the public-private partnership outlining the balance of risks and rewards. Mm-hmm. And the last bullet there, which is to evaluate the financial projections, usage assumptions, and other factors in the current project plans for reasonableness. We'd like to contract for technical assistance to look at the reasonableness of the input into the modeling that went into establishing those financial projections. So there are two aspects to this. Originally, I thought I could go for two different contracts, each under $25,000. When we started to look at potential contractors, we realized that that there is a potential to have one contractor with the expertise perform both tasks. Hence, it's over $25,000, and that is why I'm here today. I would entertain any questions about the...
Questions. Senator Menard.
Yes, thank you. I have a great interest in this, and I'm wondering what steps you'll take to make sure that the audit is completed as quickly as possible.
Senator Menard, through the chair, we'd like to approach all audits to complete it as timely as possible. This one, it's staffed. The field work is done to the point where we can get it completed without technical assistance. So at this point, our plan is to put it down until these contracts are completed, pick it back up, and finalize, interpret it, and then see if we need to do any work. I am hopeful that it's completed. We have outlined prospective dates for future meetings. There's typically one in December. I'm hopeful that it'll go prelim in December.
Yes, Mr. Chair, I really want to put on the record that I strongly urge the audit to be complete before the next session begins. Kubota provides regular reports and information relating to products is readily available from the authority. In fact, it's all online. And I understand all information requested from the legislative audit from Kubota has been fulfilled. I checked on that yesterday.
Senator Menard, through the chair, I'd like to look at that. We did have some initial problems, so we have all of the information from Kubota. So right now, we are still awaiting certain information.
Well, I apologize. My sources said as of yesterday, I checked on that, so... not to embarrass my office or my staff or myself who sits on the Kubota board. But I, you know, I do want, would really urge that we could get this done before session.
Point noted. I would also note for the record, Senator Meyer, have you joined us?
Yes, I'm here.
And Representative Kawasaki, you remain online, do you not?
Yes, sir, I am here.
Thank you. We have reestablished a quorum. Further questions for Chris on the technical support? And I just also note this is a routine sort of a request that gets brought to this committee for these sorts of things. So hearing, see no further concerns. Representative Dugan, I would entertain a motion. We're going to return to the review, or the preliminary release of our audit reports.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I move that the committee release the following confidential audit reports to the appropriate agencies for comment. The RCA annual report review and the State Suicide Prevention Council sunset review.
The question before the committee is the release of the confidential status preliminary audit reports to the RCA and the Suicide Prevention for Council for agency review. Is there objection? Hearing, see none. So ordered. So Representative Dugan brings us to a last motion, and that would be the one related to the request for professional services technical assistance.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I move that we authorize the legislative auditor to solicit and award a contract for technical assistance on the Kubota audit in the amount not to exceed $50,000.
The question before the committee is authorizing the legislative auditor to solicit technical assistance on the Kubota audit in amount not to exceed $50,000. Is there objection? Hearing, see none. That is also approved. The last item, and I'd like to get, we'll get it through hopefully in just a fairly short order here, but it's one committee members should be appraised of, and it's one where we have the issue of the development of the legislative auditor's space and all part of our ongoing development process we've been working with Ledge Council on for the past couple of months. And I just asked Paul Lynn to give us a quick briefing on the status of that one, since frankly it's been, I've been out of touch myself and I'm learning these things. So, Paul Lynn?
Hello. Hi there. Paul Lynn Swanson, Legislative Budget and Audit Committee 8. And I've been working together, and our role is, as my role as a Legislative Budget and Audit Committee 8 and LBNA's oversight and responsibility with for Ledge Audit. And we've been working in conjunction with Legislative Council, of course, which is in charge of facilities management and maintenance, and the Ledge Auditor, in trying to forward this remodel project. It's my understanding that the church remodel for Ledge Finance is coming along, which will then allow Ledge Finance to move into that church space, which then will allow the audit folks to expand into the Ledge Finance space, which is a much needed expansion. I think Chris can probably best speak to the need that she has there with regards to expanding into that space for recruitment, retention purposes and whatnot. And if you want to go ahead and do that, Chris, you can.
It's an unusual position to be in to try to promote this type of thing getting funding to expand our services. But we have not been able to escape the turnover of auditors that you hear in Department of Revenue and that type of thing. We have had turnover. We have not invested in our facilities since I've been there in 1992. So we are, I feel that this, not only do we need the space just to accommodate what what we have currently as far as staff, I feel that expanding and improving the working conditions will greatly help our turnover. We are hiring minimum range 17 professionals, and they come in the door and they get their cubicle, and it's not a free site. And the environment in which they work in doesn't reflect the degree of work that we do. And I'm really looking forward to expanding and upgrading our work environment. Been in the works for many years now, and it's coming to fruition. And we're leading the troops out of Egypt, and it's very exciting.
I would like to see you part those waters.
Senator French, sir. So ledge finance will go to the church, and then the auditing department will expand into the vacated.
And so the work here is essentially the requested. It's basically it's TI, it's tenant improvement work. But in the, of course, we are a government agency. There's a long process of hurdles we go through. And with all respect, the way we've been approaching it in our office is from my legislative oversight role of the activities of the state auditor is, again, looking at these being pretty, you know, again, a permanent level of improvement so that we're not having to come back for requests for the next however many years. It's a significant commitment that was made to move legislative audit by the good folks at Ledge Council, and this is really kind of reflecting the expansion of the responsibilities they've had as, hate to say the words, but as our, you know, the demands on their services from a increasingly complex and sophisticated government has continued to grow over the past 20 years.
Mr. Chairman, oh, I'm sorry.
Senator Menard, ma'am.
I would add that we had just a slight hiccup as of yesterday with the sprinkler and going now to a 6-inch pipe because the city hurried up and paved and we weren't able to. So there's just a little bit of, not to muddy the waters in any means, but just so I think good information is always pertinent to get out there. So I'm dealing with that yesterday and today.
And
so
that was on the new building.
Thank you, Senator. That's with regards to
the church
building.
Right.
So that's right. Okay.
Paul Linden, can you explain this where we're at on what's going to be requested of Ledge Council from our perspective?
Right. From our perspective, the next step, we're awaiting the next Ledge Council meeting. And when that meeting happens, we'll be prepared to move forward in conjunction with Ledge Council. I'm working out right now an RSA together with the Division of General Services, Department of Administration. They're going to be available to actually manage that project on our behalf. They're the folks that really, they own the building. They've been through tenant improvements. They're the ones that need to approve the contractors and badges and whatnot. So they're going to be able to do that for a fee of about 2% based on the project cost. So we're looking forward to working together with them. So we'll be able to bring forward that first RSA with regards to the design, architectural, engineering. That piece will come forward at the next Ledge Council meeting when it's scheduled, hopefully together with the chairman's approval.
And if I may just interrupt there, we're hoping to coordinate it. It looks like September 1st because you put out those dates, Colin, on when you were going to meet with your Ledge budget and audit, so that when we bring people in, because it's a very busy time right now, they'll have two. It'll be twofold. Some of the same members are on both committees, so that's what we're shooting for.
Great. So we'll look forward to being prepared for that meeting, and then the next RSA will actually come forward with DGS once we have. They're going to actually do all of the bidding, the procurement for us. But once we have actually a bid available, we'll bring that forward to Ledge Council for approval. So that's really the process that we're looking at. And we'll be sure to get a memo out.
Further questions, concerns? There's the update for the committee on our space. So thank you. Is there any other committee business to be brought forward by anyone? I'm not going to acknowledge you, Representative Dugan.
I'm sorry, Mr. Chairman, but I believe under the rules you have to.
No, I believe as chair I have the authority not to recognize you. Against my better judgment, Representative Dugan.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I know this is a couple of days late, but I just wanted to wish you a happy birthday, and I will not go into which one it is. You know, particularly given the medical challenges that you've had, I'm happy to see you here or, frankly, any place else.
You can only imagine it from my perspective.
And I want to add the personal hope that you die of old age. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you, Representative Dugan. That is quite sincerely appreciated, and the sentiments are returned to yourself. Very well. With that, Senator.
Representative Dugan, and I would like him to practice when he says Kabata so it sounds like a more loving and endearing word. Thank you.
Point noted.
Are we about Ben Schmaltz?
Senator French, would you? Yeah.
I hate to be a curmudgeon.
Yeah.
Really.
And we got 4 minutes before noon. What's up? Anyway, thank you all for being here. Our meeting stands adjourned.